Lord, we thank you. Lord, we come to you this morning in anticipation of you, of your teaching, your instruction, your guidance. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Lord, may this simple message, may it find a place in our being, Lord. Open up heaven for us. Fill us with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture was Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. I'm going to read it again. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You know, I was in the Air Force. I worked on the flight line. They issued us, I've shared this before, I think, but not all of you heard it, so I get to share it again for the benefit of those that haven't heard this. Anyway, they issued us tools at the very beginning, you know, when I first got there. And, you know, we're supposed to take care of those tools and guard them and not lend them out. And anyway, guess what? When it came time to get out of the Air Force, I had to go buy supply and turn in my tools. And they asked me, they said, do you have any tools missing? I could have said, no, they're all there. But I didn't. I said, yes. He said, very many? I said, yes. He said, okay, checked it off. Hand me my paper back. That was it. I did have advanced knowledge of how it worked. If you go there and you admit that you got tools missing, you're forgiven. What does that sound like? Lord, I got tools missing. If I'd have said what my mind was telling me to say, if I'd have said, no, they're all there, he'd have said, okay, let's look and see. And then I would have had to pay for every tool that was missing. So, does that sound like grace? Grace. Chapter 55 of Isaiah has grace written all over. In fact, I have written in the margin the grace chapter. Even the number 5 is a number of grace. And we see a multiple of 5 here, 55. God's grace. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. That means ever increasing amounts each time we come. It's not just grace. It's grace that compounds itself every time we sin. Romans 5:20 says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I don't think I'm the only one in this room that's had grace abound an awful lot in my life. I see a hand up back there. God is good. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Three questions. Who is this being offered to? To all that are thirsty, but also to all that are without money. How can we pay for this? We can't. It's offered to those who are thirsty, hungry, and penniless. In 2 Samuel 4, chapter 4 and chapter 9, we read of a man named Mephibosheth. He was the son of Jonathan, who is the son of Saul. David one day said that, is there yet someone of Saul's house that I can show the kindness of God to? And they said, yes, Mephibosheth. He's lame in both his feet. He's a cripple. He lives in Lo Debar, which means no pasture. So David sent for him and told him, come, you can sit at my table and eat continuously. What were the conditions? That's a beautiful story because I see me. And Mephibosheth said, why would he do this for a wretched dog like me? Mephibosheth didn't have to clean himself up. He didn't have to go out and buy a new suit. He didn't have to drive there himself. There are no conditions. David could have said a lot of other things. I'm sending you a new set of crutches. The old ones you've worn out. No, he didn't do that. Sit at my table and you can eat continuously. Isn't that what we do? Not just on Communion Sunday. Come and eat at my table continuously. That's the desire of his heart. David did that for Mephibosheth because he had a covenant with Mephibosheth's father that I will take care of your family. Mephibosheth was the only one that was left. Question number two, what is offered? Water. What is water? It's refreshment. It's more than that. We can't live without water, can we? I try to make do with my RC Cola, but that just doesn't get the job done. But it's bubbly. It's sweet. Now I need water. I think that I need more and more. I'm drinking more and more water because I heard it keeps my blood sugar down. Which RC Cola doesn't really help a whole lot, but I'm not. The way I look at it, I used to drink a quart of tequila every day. And if I drink a quart of RC Cola, which I don't drink that much anymore. But I think I'm a lot better off. Offers wine. Speaking of tequila, no, it's not tequila. Tequila is hard liquor. Wine. In Jewish thought, wine represents joy. It gladdens the heart, it says in Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says, wine maketh life merry. Of course, that's in moderation, isn't it? Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, in which is much dissipation, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've discovered in all the substances and everything I've utilized in my life to feel good, there's no bigger, no greater higher than the Holy Spirit. No greater high. The Bible talks about new wine. That could represent the harvest. We're part of that, aren't we? We're on that vine. We're one of those, we're part of that cluster of grapes. But fresh grape juice, which we use here, by the way, we don't use wine, is new wine. Because it hasn't fermented. It hasn't let the world spoil it yet. That's why I'm glad that we, one of the reasons why I'm glad that we use that instead of wine. The other thing is, I don't like wine. But I like grape juice. That's fine. He mentions milk. Nourishment. Milk is basic nourishment. You know, I don't know what they gave to babies before there was formula. I think it was milk. And yet now babies, I don't understand why babies get sick unless they're put on a certain formula and it has to be a certain type and it has to be, I don't understand that. But there's a lot of things going on in this world that I don't understand. Basic nourishment. It's the foundation. It's the start of our nourishment. Our text also mentions bread in verse 2. All of these combined, what do they point to? Did somebody say salvation? That's a good answer. That's a very correct answer. But there's a better answer. All of these point to Jesus Christ. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What does it mean to thirst? There's two things about thirst. One is desire, but the other is need. Both are very real. Both are very powerful. In Isaiah 55:1, the Lord says, come to the waters. Come. David told Mephibosheth, come, eat at my table continuously. Come. That's a very welcome word. That's an invitation. Noah, come into the ark. First time the word come is in the Bible. Noah, come into the bar. Come into the ark. Not go into the ark now. And the Lord shut the door behind him. Makes me wonder who opened the door when he went out. It says Noah opened the window, let the raven and the dove out. It says he took the covering off. But it doesn't say who opened that door, let him back out. God told him you could leave the ark, so I'm thinking that maybe God opened the door. That's the only thing logical. Come. Jesus used that word many times, didn't he? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Bring your problems to me. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come. Come to me. By faith we come, by faith we drink, by faith we eat, by faith we taste and see that the Lord is good. And what does he have to offer? Happiness and joy, love, wisdom, companionship, hope for the future. Everything we need. Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Must believe that he is. He is? He is what? Moses in the wilderness said, by the way, Lord, what's your name? I am. I am. That sounds like an interesting name, isn't it? Curious. What kind of name is that? What does it mean? It means I am everything I need to be, and I am everything you need me to be. We must believe that he is. He is what? He's everything he needs to be and everything we need him to be. The all-sufficient one. The I am. Question number three. How does anybody obtain what is offered? I've heard it said that if something seems too good to be true, it probably isn't. In other words, question it. And people, for the most part, believe this, don't they? I saw something years ago on television. It may have been one of those candid camera things or something like that. It may have been candid camera. I don't know. But this man went to a public place and took some brand new crisp $20 bills, and he started selling them, trying to sell them for $5 each. I think he walked away with every one he took because no one bought it. I wouldn't. What's wrong with it? Must be too good to be true. But isn't that what God does for us? How does God become ours? What does it mean to buy something without money? That's what they call a paradox, isn't it? Isn't that kind of contradictory? But God can be contradictory at times. Actually, he isn't. It's the way we look at him. We look at him with our worldly wisdom and our experiences and everything, and that's the way it seems. Give so you can have. Die so you can live. Over and over again, the Bible teaches that. Maybe contradictory with man, but with God. With God, it's never contradictory. He likes to test our faith. Even at the very beginning of the Bible, he tests our faith. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God what? Who's God? Where's he come from? No, he is. Alexander McLaren said, we buy Christ when we part with self, which is all that we have in order to win him. Does that sound reasonable? Yeah, I think so. But what are the only conditions? There's only two. A sense of need and a willingness to receive. We know we need him. And we willingly accept him. I've spent all week putting this together. And then yesterday I was reading in my morning by morning my Charles Spurgeon devotional. And I can't do any better. Well, it's Charles Spurgeon, the prince of princes, of preachers. Of course, I can't do any better than him. This is what he says. We dwell in him. It's from 1 John 4:13. Do you want a house for your soul? Do you ask, what is the purchase? It is something less than proud human nature will like to give. It is without money and without price. Ah, you would like to pay a respectable rent. You would love to do something to win Christ. Then you cannot have the house, for it is without price. Will you take my master's house on a lease for all eternity with nothing to pay for it, nothing but the ground rent of loving and serving him forever? Will you take Jesus and dwell in him? See, this house is furnished with all you want. It is filled with riches, more than you will spend as long as you live. Here you can have intimate communion with Christ and feast on his love. Here are tables well stored with food for you to live on forever. In it, when weary, you can find rest with Jesus. And from it, you can look out and see heaven itself. Will you have the house? Ah, if you are houseless, you'll say, I should like to have the house. But may I have it? Yes. There is the key. The key is, come to Jesus. But you say, I am too shabby for such a house. Never mind, there are garments inside. If you feel guilty and condemned, come. And though the house is too good for you, Christ will make you good enough for the house by and by. He will wash you and cleanse you, and you will yet be able to sing, we dwell in him. Believer, thrice happy art thou to have such a dwelling place. Greatly privileged thou art, for thou hast a strong habitation, in which thou art ever safe. And dwelling in him, thou hast not only a perfect and secure house, but an everlasting one. When this world shall have melted like a dream, our house shall live and stand more imperishable than marble, more solid than granite, self-existent as God, for it is God himself. We dwell in him. Today is Communion Sunday. You guys probably figured that out already. Of course, I did mention it, but I think you probably had it figured out before. Maybe even before you walked in the door. I'm going to ask Ricky and Todd if they'll come and start handing out the elements. First Corinthians 11:23-32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death, till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. That's what we do now, as these are being handed out. and as we wait to partake of it. What this says, and I can't stress this enough, is you have the opportunity to meet all these requirements simply by talking to Him, asking forgiveness, and letting Him take away the things in your life that make keep you from doing this. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head, and I'm going to ask you to talk to the Lord. Maybe it's salvation you need. And there's probably forgiveness. We all have forgiveness we need. But talk to the Lord about the things that concern you. See, this is a way we can partake. Did everybody get served? Did we miss anybody? Lord, we thank you for this cup and for this bread, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents. That this is just a memorial of you. But that's what it's always been. Even when they took the Passover, it was a memorial of you. Lord, bless this bread and bless this cup, Lord, please. And he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may drink the cup. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the body that you offered on that cross. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that you willingly shed for us to save a sinner like me. Lord, I pray for your presence today and always. I pray, Lord, for your guidance, your wisdom, your direction. I pray, Lord, for your protection on your people. And I pray, Lord, that you bless the rest of the day. Be with us, Lord. Keep us close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.